We'll go ahead and dismiss the children for junior church at this time. They can follow Mrs. Pileggi back there. And the rest of us all encouraged to turn, please, to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, we'll read the first 16 verses. Verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Have you ever considered the incredible gift that God has given to you of your mind? The minds that God has given to us. Remarkable thing. Not the brain, I think that's the physical component, but the mind. Our ability to think and reason and understand and rationalize different things. God has given us that ability that is part of our uniqueness as being an image bearer of God. We have that ability to reason, to understand, to think like that, to rationalize something that other creations do not have. It's a remarkable gift indeed that God has given to us. And we think about all kinds of things. You thought this past week about Thanksgiving and leading up to Thanksgiving. There's probably all kinds of thoughts as, what do we need to do to prepare? What needs to go in the oven at what time? Well, if we do it this way, then we have to do this thing. Or if we have to do this, then we're going to have to do that. And you make logical reasoning based on what's happening. We're coming up to Christmas time. And you're going to have to do some similar thinking and reasoning. And plus, beyond that, you'll probably think, what am I going to get someone for Christmas? We have the ability, an incredible ability and capacity to think. God has given to us a mind. The greatest commandment in all the Bible includes the notion of loving God with all of our mind. There is this part of us that we must come to grips with, that it is important for us to think biblically, to love God with our mind. In the context here of Romans 12, we could even liken it to, I present my mind as a living sacrifice to God. That even how I think and what I choose to think about is God's, submitted to the authority, the lordship of our God. So how important is it then to think properly? How important is it for our minds, our thinking, our reasoning to be shaped by the right things? You know, how we think is shaped by all kinds of stuff. And if we allow the wrong things to influence our thinking, to shape how we think, if we let the wrong things do that, we'll face a lot of different dangers, a lot of problems, spiritual problems, and even potentially physical problems. Think of a couple biblical examples of this. Think of Eve in the Garden of Eden. She allowed the serpent to influence how she thought about God and his word. And that, along with Adam's partaking of the fruit, brought sin into the world and death, serious ramifications of wrong thinking. Or Israel. Israel allowed worldly concerns to influence and shape their thoughts about the promised land. Remember when they sent the spies in? And most of those spies came back. They did not believe the Lord. They allowed ungodly things to influence what they thought. And because of that, the people didn't go in. And a whole generation of Israelites died because of unbelief, wrong thinking. Many kings of Israel had too high thoughts about themselves based on some other ungodly line of reasoning from the culture around them, and they brought their nation into various aspects of danger and ultimately into ruin and captivity. Both the northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah, that is what took place. How we view ourselves, how we think about ourselves is of incredible importance. And what we allow to shape our thinking is also very important. Our text this morning is verse 3 of chapter 12. And Paul here gives an exhortation based on his authority as an apostle. We have that worded with this phrase, "For I say through the grace given to me." And Paul is saying, this grace that has been given to me as an apostle of Jesus Christ, I'm going to exhort you about something. And he says, "I say this to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith." This exhortation is for all who are there, everyone in this church, to not think more highly of himself than they ought to, but rather to think soberly. And we'll get to what that means here in a little bit. Everyone has a worldview, a way in which we view the world around us and make evaluations as to what is going on in our world today. As Christians, we've talked about this before, we need to have a biblical worldview, to look at this world through the lens of what God says about this world, to allow the Bible to shape how we think about all that's going on. The same could be said about our view of self. We need to have a biblical view of ourselves, allowing what the Scripture says to tell us and to shape our thinking about who we are. That's difficult at times. It's a struggle for us because of our sin nature. We often fight against that, but nonetheless, that is what Paul is arguing for here. This is more than just merely being humble as opposed to being proud, though that is part of it. This is a proper view of self, not too high, not too low, but biblical, an accurate view of who we are. Thinking accurately about ourselves in light of a right view of God. Now, think of how this falls in the context of this passage. chapters 1 through 11, we've reviewed this before. It talks about the great works of God in salvation. But notice how the end of chapter 11 reads. Look up a little bit in your text. Look at verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who has become his counselor? The idea here is, you ever think about God's mind? About how God thinks? Who can know the mind of the Lord? Who can be his counselor? And the point is this, God's mind and God's thoughts and God's understanding is infinitely greater than all of ours. And in light of that knowledge, that thinking about God, that revelation of God that we have, when we think that high of God like that, then the natural thing should be to not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. That's the greater context here. And the immediate context, of course, is submitting ourselves as sacrifices to God, living sacrifices. We're not to be conformed to the world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. See, there's that idea again. This is an important idea that God brings out here, and it's brought out even at the end of the text as well, verse 16, which I'll mention here in a little while also. So now Paul focuses in on this aspect of our mind, our thinking, particularly our view of self. A proper view of God and salvation leads us to sacrificial living as Christians. And this sacrificial living requires sensible thinking, to lay our own mind on the altar to the Lord. So what is your view of self today? What is your view of God today? Do you have an inflated view of yourself and a low view of God? Do you think yourself to be too important? Or perhaps you are somewhat the opposite, where you constantly beat up yourself and berate yourself. That's not biblical either. God wants us to think properly, to think soberly, and not too highly about ourselves as people who are living sacrifices to God. So first of all, this morning, God enables us to think biblically. And I use that word enables because if you look in verse 3, it says at the end, think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. As believers, God has given to us this faith. Our faith is a gift of God. Ephesians 2 talks about that. Same idea. And as God has given to us this faith, as his people, as we are living sacrifices, the correlation that God brings out here is he enables us then to think how we ought to think. To think biblically. To think sensibly. So first, God enables us to think biblically. An Old Testament passage that comes to mind with regards to this is Jeremiah 9, verse 23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory or boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, nor let the rich man boast in his riches. So let's talk about those three components just very briefly today. First, think biblically about your own thoughts and ideas and opinions. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. You know, everyone has opinions about things, and everyone thinks their opinions are right. We think, we reason, we have ideas, and we usually don't think those are too bad, but when we elevate those thoughts, that is not thinking biblically, but selfishly. When we believe something is below us, that is not good. When we think that everything would be better if everyone just thought like I thought, that's not a good thing. Paul told the Corinthians that knowledge puffs up, and how true that is. Knowledge very easily leads to pride in our hearts. We think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. All knowledge that we have, though, is incomplete knowledge. You think of what you know about God. If you're a believer, been a believer for any length of time, you've grown to some degree in your knowledge of God, who he is, his character, his ways, his mind, all those things. But do you realize on this side of eternity, all of that knowledge is incomplete? We can grow in that, but we will never reach the full capacity. All your knowledge is incomplete about God. So who are we to elevate our thoughts in such a way that makes it seem like we know it all or are always right or always have the right ideas? We can have knowledge. Knowledge isn't wrong to have. It's how we hold that knowledge, how we view that knowledge, and our capacity for it that can be problematic. Thinking biblically about your own thoughts and ideas and opinions means that we are going to hold those somewhat loosely, at least in some respects, and be willing to at least listen to others. You may not always agree with them, but at least listening can be helpful. Here's an illustration. I just finished reading a book this last week about preaching, and the book was about four views of preaching. And what this book is, it had four contributing authors, and each author had a chapter to delineate their thoughts about preaching. And then the other three had a very short chapter to critique it. So you had four big chapters and then lots of little chapters. Now, all those four views were different, some slightly different nuances. And I didn't find myself agreeing with all of them, but I found something helpful in each of them. And each of them were very gracious with the others, voicing some disagreements, but also voicing some agreements too. That's what this is talking about. In light of God, our minds and thoughts and opinions are extremely limited. So let's think biblically about ourselves. Let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Think biblically about your own abilities. Let not the mighty man boast in his might, in his strength, in his ability. Everyone is talented and gifted in certain areas, but not everyone in the church is talented and gifted in the same areas. Each of us has God-given abilities that are helpful for the body of Christ. My wife is talented and gifted in areas that I never will be, and vice versa. We each have our strengths and our abilities that the other doesn't have. We have abilities, but the problem comes when we are proud in those abilities, in those talents, and in those gifts. Think of what we are able to do compared to what God is able to do. We call what God is able to do, he is all-powerful. God can do anything he wants to do that's in keeping with his character. That's not me. My abilities are limited, greatly limited. And this is part of what it means to think biblically. We cannot boast about our abilities, think more highly of ourselves in those than we ought to think, but to allow our view of God to bring our thoughts down to a proper level. We cannot boast in our musical abilities or our teaching abilities or creative abilities or in our spiritual gifts or in our athletic talents or in our intellectual skills or our engineering abilities or whatever else you want to throw in there. Many people have great skill and ability in certain ways, but often rely too heavily upon those and thus not on God. And that's the danger. When we think more highly about what I can do, then automatically our view of what God can do lowers. And we want to have a very high view of God's ability and a biblical, sensible, aka lower view of my own abilities. I'm nothing. I can do nothing on my own. And Paul recognized that, but he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. You know the context of that. I don't have to go through all that. But in light of God, our abilities are extremely limited. So let's think biblically about them. Let's not boast in our own strength and our own ability. God gives us those, and we can use those for the benefit of the body of Christ and for the glory of God. But don't put too much stock in it. Don't think more highly than you ought to think. And then think biblically about your own resources. Let not the rich man boast in his riches and what he has. Everyone has some amount of resources on this earth. We have clothing, money, housing, food, and usually some extra. God gives us those things to enjoy, but they cannot take too high of a place in our lives. What do you have that has not been given to you? You say, well, I bought this. I worked hard for this. Who gave you that ability to work? Who gave you that job to have? Who gave you the breath to breathe, to work, to earn that money, to buy whatever it is that you have? We have nothing that has not been given to us ultimately by the Lord. And those things are easily taken away. How fast does money fly away? We know all too well. Possessions easily burn up. They crumble, they decay, or they break. And yet, think of God's resources. What does God have? Well, we just sang, this is my Father's world. The earth is the Lord's and all the fullness of it. God owns it all. He has every resource at his disposal to do with what he desires. That's not me. And that's not any of you. So think biblically about what we have. Be thankful for them. We ought to be. We can use those resources for the glory of God, for even our own enjoyment. God gives us all things freely to enjoy. That includes food, which we enjoyed this last week at Thanksgiving, as I'm sure you did too. But don't put too much weight on the resources that you have. God has given every believer faith to live his life for the glory of God as a living sacrifice. But when we view ourselves too highly, we are not allowing the Bible to influence and shape our minds, but rather worldly ideas to do that. Some people have a problem thinking too highly of their own ideas. Others have a problem thinking too highly of their own abilities. While still others put too much weight on their own resources. Whatever your propensity is, you don't have to follow that. God enables you to think biblically. You have faith if you are his child. And because of your relationship to Jesus Christ, you can think biblically about yourself and all that you have. Again, don't boast about your own ideas or abilities or resources. We cannot think we are sufficient in ourselves in any of those things. Thinking biblically about these means that we are utterly dependent upon the Lord. I must know what God thinks about life. I must rely on his strength to enable me to do whatever it is he desires. I must depend upon his gift of resources to do what he wants me to do and to supply all of my needs as he sees fit. When we elevate self, we diminish God. And that is never a helpful thing to do. the end of Jeremiah 9:23, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom, let not the mighty man boast in his might, let not the rich man boast in his riches. But the verse goes on. But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me. You see what God is doing there? God is trying to get our minds to think biblically about ourselves, not boast in us, but to boast in him. To have a high view of God, not of ourselves. For when we think properly of God, the natural thing to happen is we'll think biblically and properly about ourselves. And things will be in better alignment. Now let's talk secondly, that God enables us to think sensibly. For verse 3 says, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That's what the New King James says. I think the King James says that as well. The word means sensible. It means to be in your right mind. If you think illustration of this in the New Testament, this word is used, for instance, when Jesus encountered, we call him the maniac of Gadara. Remember that guy? Demon-possessed, out of his mind, all just chains couldn't hold him, running around like a wild man. And this word is used after Jesus cast out those demons. And it says that that man sat clothed and what? In his right mind. That's the word. He was sober. He was sensible. He was in his right mind. That's what this word is after. It means not to have our mind be out of whack or out of control, but completely under the control of God. God wants us to think sensibly about our relationship to believers. And I think this is really where the main thrust of the text is going, because after this, you have all kinds of wording about a believer's relationship to other believers. You have 1, 2, 3, 4 times the word one another, the phrase one another being used in this passage that we read earlier. You have all these descriptions of who we are in relationship to one another. To think sensibly about yourself includes sensible, right-mindedness in your relationship to the church, to other believers. Some people have too high a view of themselves in relationship to the church. They think, if I leave the church is going to fall apart. Well, church history proves that every one of us is expendable. And this church particularly, no one of us in this room was here when this church started. That means we've all come after that. And by God's grace, according to his will, the church will continue after we're dead and gone. All of us are expendable. And I don't mean that in a morbid sense, but that's just a realistic mind. Now, God uses people in every generation to build and to be a blessing to the church body. All of us are expendable. That doesn't mean that we're not necessary or important to the function of the body. Of course we are. We are a family with many members. We are a building with many bricks. We are a body with many parts. So we cannot have a lofty view of ourselves in relationship to the church ministry. We all can contribute. We all can serve. We are all tools in the master's hand. Think of the Apostle Paul who's writing this. The Apostle Paul called himself the least of the apostles and less than the least of all saints. And then even the chief of sinners. He grew in his view of self and his relationship with other believers. Many Christians have lived before us and will live after us, Our role is to be faithful to the Lord in the years that we have, to serve him, to contribute to his cause in a way that would honor him. We're one body, one family, with many parts, and every part we can't say, well, you're not necessary, or you're not necessary. No, 1 Corinthians 12 talks against that. Think of it like this. I'll give you an illustration. When I was a kid, one of our favorite traditions for New Year's Day, we would go to my grandma's house, grandma and grandpa's house, and we'd put together a puzzle. And usually it was a 1,000-piece puzzle. And typically we'd be able to put that puzzle together in a day or so. But there's a lot of people working on it, and usually we'd be able to finish it. I have always liked to do puzzles. Maybe you don't. But if you do a puzzle, most people that I know of anyway put together the puzzle and they have the box cover sitting really close by. Because the cover of that box shows you what? It shows you the picture of what you're doing. So you can see how every piece of that puzzle is meant to fit together. You know, our Christian life, we wish sometimes we could see the box of the puzzle and what that picture perfectly is. But we don't. God does, though. But each one of us are pieces to his grand puzzle. And God knows what that's going to look like. And our function is to find where we fit and to be faithful in that spot. We're one piece of a big puzzle, a puzzle that spans for millennia. We cannot think too highly of ourselves. We should think sensibly. I'm a piece in God's grand puzzle. There will be disagreements among us. There will be differences. But God enables us to think sensibly and soberly and sanely about how we fit into his grand picture. We are not the big deal, though. God is the big deal. And again, when we think properly and have high thoughts of God, a high view of God, that will naturally lead to biblical thoughts of self. The solution to what Paul is saying here is think properly about God ultimately. But to think sensibly about who we are. God wants us also to think sensibly about our relationship with unbelievers. This is a problem that can sometimes plague Christian people. We who are Christians, especially if you've been saved any period of time, sometimes the temptation is for us to think that we are somehow more worthy of God's love or God's grace in salvation than that unsaved person. And we ought never think that. Because there was a day that I was lost. My mind was clouded to the truth. I was a stranger from God. I was the rebel. And God saved me. Doesn't mean I'm more worthy or better or anything like that. Those are proud, unbiblical thoughts. Salvation should never lead us to pride. It should always lead us to think, God, why did you save me? Why me? I know the wretch that I was, the wretch that I still am. Sensible thinking means I'm going to think sensibly in relationship to unbelievers too. And when we realize that I was once an unbeliever, but now God has saved me from my sin, that should also produce in you a right thought. I need to tell them about Christ as well. They need to hear this message. We can't save anybody. That's God's job. But we can seek to tell them. Keeping these things in mind will help us to think biblically and sensibly as we interact with the lost. The Bible never speaks well of elevating ourselves or our own thoughts. But when we get our minds off of God. We will refuse his help in our thinking biblically and sensibly. When we allow our eyes, our minds, to dwell too highly or to think too highly of ourselves, we won't think properly of God. See, it works both ways. When we elevate God, that should lead us to proper biblical view of self. But when we think too highly of self, that diminishes our thought of God. And that's never a good thing. So that's why we read this passage, and at the end of this passage, that I've said before, that there are bookends, particularly from verse 3 to 16. So look in verse 16. Paul says, "Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things." That just simply means don't be high-minded. Don't be high-minded, but associate with the humble. Be humble. And do not be wise in your own opinion. That phrase, be wise in your own opinion, is repeated many times through the scripture, especially in Proverbs, but elsewhere also. Don't think to your own thought, of your own opinion, of your own way. It's never a good thing. And these two verses really bookend this whole passage because Paul, the Lord himself, Paul is seeking to, I didn't say that Paul was the Lord, you understand that. The Lord speaking through Paul is telling us that we need to think biblically. We must think sensibly. Paul writes elsewhere, for instance, in the book of Philippians, chapter 2, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What mind is that, Paul? Well, you read that passage, incredible passage, right? Christ's mind of humility. Christ's mind of service. And you think of anyone who has lived on this earth, anyone who could have been high-minded, it was our Lord. But when he came, he said, "I came to serve." He did those things that pleased and honored the Father. He humbled himself, washed the disciples' feet, did the menial tasks as an example for us, that we would not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think, but that we would follow the example of our Master. And when we think properly of him and properly of our Heavenly Father, it will put us in the proper place. We will think better, biblically, sensibly, about ourselves. When you have a view of yourself that is too high, you'll be in great danger spiritually and perhaps even physically. Because of our position in Jesus Christ, we have the capacity in our minds to be in proper alignment with God about our own thinking, our own abilities, our own resources, and everything else. Because of our position in Christ Jesus, we have the capacity in our minds to be sensible, sober, in our right mind about our relationship with others on this earth. It is foolish to be wise in our own opinions. It is godly to remain humble before an almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing God. Yet many Christians refuse God's help in this area. They're proud in their view of self. They do not think sensibly at all. And what are the results of that? Well, that leads to problems in their marriage, problems in their home, problems at work, and problems in the church. If you always have to have things done the way you think they should be done, or you won't be happy, then you're not thinking biblically or sensibly. If you always think your view and opinion must be followed, then you're not thinking biblically or sensibly. If you pout and mope when you don't get your way at home or at work or at school or at church, then you're not thinking biblically or sensibly. Think of this in the context of Christianity. The ground is level at the foot of the cross, someone has said. And that phrase simply means there's no one of us who are elevated above the other. The ground is level. It's a spiritual phrase. We ought not think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Think biblically. Think soberly. In right relationship to God. We, John the Baptist said, we must decrease while Christ must increase. And that includes in our own minds. Let God's word wash your mind today. Let God's enabling grace through your relationship with Christ help you have a proper view of self. If you don't, you can plan to experience some kind of difficulty and resistance because God's word is clear that he always resists the proud, the high-minded, the haughty. Even the proud look God hates. But when each person in a family or in a church family is striving to allow the scriptures to shape their view of self, there will be harmony, unity, love, and support that is honoring to the Lord and helpful to the body. In short, we will experience God's grace in a wonderful way. Christ stands as our model for this, pointed that out from Philippians 2, John 13, and elsewhere. But he's also our fuel for this. I cannot do it apart from him. Apart from my relationship with Christ, I have no means at all of thinking biblically and sensibly. None whatsoever. I can't do it. But if you have Christ today as your Lord and Savior, then God is in you. His Spirit is in you to enable you by his grace to think biblically and sensibly. Now, we all know that's still difficult. It's not just this kind of let go and let God kind of thing. No, we still are responsible to think biblically. It requires discipline. It requires that we don't allow horrible things to shape how we are thinking. We must allow the right things to shape what we're thinking, how we're thinking. And we must purpose in our heart, God, I need your help. Help me to think biblically and then to act in obedience to that call. Let no one think too highly of himself, but allow God to adjust our thoughts to think soberly, sensibly, and soundly about ourselves in such a way that is in alignment with the Holy Scriptures and all for the glory of God. So maybe today you need to repent of your pride, of your arrogance, your conceit, your self-sufficiency, or just to put the biblical terminology to it, the idolatry of self. Because when you think too highly of yourself, more highly than God, then you've made your own idol. You've made yourself your own idol. And we need to repent of that. And when we repent of our sin, God is faithful to forgive. And he will give proper help to make you think more like Jesus Christ. So Paul says, I say to you, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. May God help us to yield to his most holy and authoritative word. Let's pray.